podcast. 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 Podcast.
CurseCleveland.com podcast. And now, without further ado, today's host, Sports Boy Tony.
Rossitron and SBT here again after a Cleveland Indians 13-3 embarrassment tonight in Boston. But that's not why we're doing the podcast, Ross, is it?
I thought that's why we were doing the podcast. These bullpen problems are pissing me off.
Jason Bay torching the Indians once again. He's been a problem all season long. But then you have that Cleveland Cavalier team, 105-85, game two domination as they take their playoff record to 6-0. Who'd have thunk it, Rossitron? I thought they'd be tested a little bit more tonight, but nobody's wiser than LeBron, and I think the Cavaliers at this point really looking unbeatable in the series.
Well, some would say nobody's wiser than me, because on Curse Cleveland, I did have us winning by, like, I think it was 33, and we would have won by maybe more than that, but we had kind of... I mean, this series so far has been exactly like Detroit, where it's like, okay, we play pretty well, the opponent plays pretty well in game one, and it's a blowout, and then tonight... we play unbelievable, so much to the point where we've got the worst group we can put out there and to start the fourth, and it's the score doesn't look like what it was. I mean, tonight was like a 35-40 point win in actuality.
Yeah, it was an embarrassing night again for the Hawks. Once again, another huge loss, this one by 20 points. So now 9 playoff losses under Woodson, and each and every one of them being by at least 19 points. But... not to take credit away from the Cavs, that is all the Cavs doing tonight, because you know, that first unit came out, LeBron got him started, he was delegating, then he was scoring, then he was getting to the foul line on phantom calls, and then it was the bench. And Ross, this has been the thing that not a lot of people around the NBA are talking enough about. This bench extends the lead. They've done it in how many games of the 6 playoff games? They've done it 4 times at least. And right now, it looks to me that the Cavaliers are the best bench going, at least if you're looking at just how they performed in the playoffs.
No, I mean, it's unbelievable, and it happened in the regular season as well. I mean, I can remember early in the season, the Dallas game, the Denver games. It's like, you know, the first 5 years of LeBron, this is, as Nike will tell you, this is season 6, but the first 5 years when LeBron were off the court, I mean, it was a disaster. And now it's the opposite. I mean, we have an advantage when our bench goes on the floor and LeBron's not even out there, at least at this point through the first 2 rounds we do. But I mean, it's been pretty awesome. I mean, we were only up 9 after 1. I'm like, well, we should be murdering these guys. And then within 2 minutes, the beginning of the second, when LeBron's on the bench, guess what? Game over.
Yeah, looking at Atlanta right now, we just don't know how much of a series this is really going to be at this point. I mean, Brian Windhorst had said he had picked Atlanta to win Game 3. I'm guessing he's changing his tune, knowing the status of Joe Johnson tonight, and of course Horford and Marvin Williams, guys dropping like flies. A lot of it has to do, though, with the Cavaliers' physicality, and I think that's been a big part. You know, like the Houston Rockets, almost in a Western Conference. The Cavaliers are being very physical. I thought that it was going to be the other way around. I thought other teams were going to try to impose their physicality to try to get into LeBron's head or get into the Cavaliers' head, and that hasn't been the case. It's been the other way around.
Well, teams just haven't been able to accomplish anything. Detroit tried to be real physical when LeBron had the ball in his hands. But, I mean, yeah, the Cavs are a really physical group on defense. I mean, that we're imposing athletically. You know, even Z is 7'3". There's only really one guy in the playoffs taller than him. And Varejao, West, and LeBron they're really animals on defense. So they are physical. And I don't know. You know, I can't really – Joe Johnson, I mean – he gets hurt when they're down by like 30 tonight, and now he's doubtful. I mean, Horford and Marvin Williams, I thought that they've pretty much probably just decided, hey, we're going to get run tonight. Let's just put them on the plane, and we'll win game 3. We'll just go all out in game 3. But now it's kind of like, well, if they don't have Joe Johnson, the Cavs come out, you know, with the same energy that they've been playing with. I mean, game 3 is over as well.
Ross, you were there again tonight. I don't know how much money you're dropping in this Cavalier playoff run. I mean, I think it's insane. You know, would you like to share with us at least an estimate of how much money Well, you think no, you anticipate this? Well, if these games don't go, if these series don't go seven games, though, you're saving money.
Of course, and that's what obviously I'm hoping, that this series doesn't go five for multiple reasons. And by multiple, I mean two. Number one, it means we swept. Number two, it means I'm not spending money on the game five ticket, you know, or popcorn. But so I don't know. I mean, I'm not too worried about that. I'm, you know.
Well, you never know, judging by the looks of the Quicken Loans Arena and inside and the fervent throng of supporters, you'd never know the economy was bad in Cleveland until the game is over and you step outside and walk the streets of Cleveland.
Like Mike Polk says, our economy's based on LeBron James.
But, watch it. He's gotten death threats for that. He's gotten death threats for that. By the way, you were there tonight. Why was Brian Urlacher in attendance? Could you please tell me what the connection was tonight for Brian Urlacher?
Brian Urlacher was there to see the best player in the NFL take the court. LeBron James, he jumped.
NBA, yeah.
He jumped to know the NFL. He jumped over him at one point going for a loose ball. And Brian Urlacher was there with this brunette chick that, I don't know, if you're into this thing called a female, she was a pretty cute one. I know that he was into Paris Hilton for a while, but they were sitting in big Jack Nicholson's version of the seat at the queue over by Mike Brown today. That's where Urlacher and his chicken were at.
I mean, forget LeBron needing to play somewhere else for exposure. Look, other athletes from other teams and other leagues are coming to Cleveland to hit on Cleveland girls just because of LeBron. I mean, that's how ridiculous it's gotten and what a scene it is down at the queue. Ross, what was it like when LeBron was performing all his theatrics at the end of pretty much every quarter? The first dunk was ridiculous. By the way, Rossitron, yeah. Little inside baseball here. We're texting each other throughout the game, and he texts me right after the LeBron dunk. He goes, "Oh, well, let me see Wade or Kobe do that." And then I, of course, Rossitron, I don't know if you remember what I texted you back. But
I do.
It was, I think those other guys could also beat Solomon Jones off the dribble.
Yeah. Because it was Solomon Jones, but the thing was, I mean, number one, Zaza and whoever else were behind him, there's no help. It's like, this guy, it doesn't want to do anything but beat this scrub off the dribble. And then he goes in there, and just for shits and giggles, wham, reverse dunk. Now, Wade and Kobe, they might dunk it with a forehand, but they are not reversing it and putting it over their head and going through Zaza. Like, his steps are just so quick. Like, yeah. Wade might have gotten an and one out of it. He might have got 3 points, but nobody's reverse flushing it where the rest of the guys on the team behind the defender are saying, oh, let's just let him have the dunk. And
Was Joey Crawford reffing tonight?
Hey, it was very reminiscent.
Bennett Salvatore, they would have got the call for D-Wade.
I did text you back. That play was very reminiscent of the coolest game in Cleveland history, that game five of the Pistons, when you know this is the only guy that's going to do anything. They've got all five guys there, and he just goes right to the hoop and dunks the ball. Like, I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous.
So then the second quarter, Ross.
Yeah, the second quarter, they've got kind of more than enough time, and LeBron pulls a little step back 36 footer, which I know a lot of NBA players have in their repertoire, but you don't see many guys pull it out. Drano, we're up by whatever it was, 27-29, game over for all, and that's the second one of those he's hit. He had a 40 footer against Detroit. But the real problem, and if you're searching for problems with the Cavs right now, is what was the problem at the end of the third quarter, honestly?
Well, he got a little greedy. LeBron decided, you know what, 5 seconds left on the clock, I'm taking a 45-footer. No reason to improve our positioning on the floor at that point. We're just going to go for the gusto, and you know, he back-ironed it.
Well, that's the thing. They asked him in the game, and they had asked him last week about his range or whatever, and he said, well, my range is pretty much unlimited. And they asked him about, maybe your range is inside. Stop with the throat clearing. they asked him maybe – okay, are we there? Are we there? Yeah. We're there? Okay, it's cleared now. I just got some water. They asked him, is your range with inside 43 feet? And he goes, well, I hit the back rim, so maybe if I step back to like 47, I'd be good to go. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just fun. Like, you know he's shooting.
No, wait a second. Is he practicing 43-footer? In all honesty, one thing we'll ding LeBron on. There's not much to ding him. 6 of 12 from the free throw line. And in the playoffs, seems like his free throw percentage is coming right back down to reality.
Well, no.
And
I think, if anything, it's a good thing he's missing them now, maybe. He's been shooting them well.
I think that was in a twilight zone. That was a justification for Shaquille O'Neal's piss poor free throw shooting. But no, that obviously, you know, tongue in cheek. The guy, everything he's doing right now. I texted another individual tonight. I don't know that anybody has played the game of basketball in the playoffs better than what LeBron is doing through six games. Hey. Now you can question the competition, but you can't question how he's performing right now.
I agree completely. And tonight was the. It was the 20th anniversary of the shot, May 7, 1989. I was 6.5 years old. It pretty much started, I don't know, everything that is me is this shot going in by Jordan and me crying as we got taken out of there. But he's playing better. I'm telling you, man, he's playing better than anybody through six games. I couldn't agree more. And let's look for more bright spots about him missing free throws. Every free throw he misses, Anderson Barzal is getting the rebound and kicking the ball to Mo Williams. Bam, three ball, got it.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And by the way, a huge bright spot tonight, which I don't even think the sound people at the queue, Josh Sabo from 850 WKNR, I know he plays all the different clips. I think he blew it tonight because he wasn't ready for a Ben Wallace block. Are you kidding me? A Ben Wallace block. He actually had some springs on his leg. He got up and he rejected a shot, and that has got to be a good sign because I don't think anybody expected that. And pretty much like me fumbling around to find the Hell's Bells, the Big Ben's bell. That was tonight, Josh Sabo at the queue.
No, I mean, you're completely right. And Big Ben looked great. I don't know how many – let me see here. I don't know how many minutes he played, but – he looked great when he was in there. He only got 7 minutes, but honestly, he looked really, really active in the 7 minutes. And besides the regulars and the guards that do all the scoring, Barzal finally came to life tonight. I thought his first five playoff games were honestly, subpar. He came alive tonight, and Wally Szczerbiak finishing dunks on the fast break tonight. How about him?
Yeah, 17 points, 7 of 9 from the field. I've said it. Kind of really since the halfway point of the season, I've been so impressed with this bench, and I continue to be. Granted, it is a little bit different coming into these blowout games and being a bench and feeding off the crowd's energy. Will they be able to do that against the Orlandos of the world or against, say, the Lakers? Who knows? But they're doing it right now, and that's what counts, and they're running teams off the floor, which in these series, while in the Western Conference, you got a dogfight on your hands in a semifinal series between the Lakers and the Rockets, hey, love this right now. You got to love this right now, the relative ease at which they are disposing of this team.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely awesome. And I think you're seeing a trend here with these teams when they come into the queue. Obviously, the Cavs have a really, really great team. It's not just LeBron James anymore. It's not just Mike Brown's defensive system. We're really, really good. We're stacked, and we're hitting on all cylinders. But I think something you're seeing now is the opponents, as soon as like one or two calls don't go their way, they start like checking out. And I think Bibby in game one and now Josh Smith tonight, they got like two bad calls against them and they get quick texts and they kind of like, you can just see it. And even Mike Woodson tonight, they kind of like tuck their penises in between their legs. And the next thing you know, it's just like, okay, we're not going to beat this team. What is
that? Yes. It was an... A scene out of Silence of the Lambs. That's what it is at this point. You're seeing a mangina from the collective souls of the Atlanta Hawks. Just an embarrassment tonight.
Right. I mean, this is the playoffs, and these guys should take this seriously. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're down 20 late in the first half, early in the second half, but the Pistons and the Hawks are just pulling the mangina out. It's, I don't know, it's just kind of bad to watch a fan of this.
If bad, you mean really hot. So once again, Rossitron had to meander over to the Atlanta Hawks message board, the hawkssquawk.net, of course. And I got to tell you, they are obviously not happy with the blowouts, which is becoming pretty much a tradition over there on the road. But they're not happy with the officiating. Now, they weren't saying the officiating would have made the difference tonight. Josh Smith came out aggressive, got called for some ticky-tack fouls. And, in fact, LeBron hammered him with a foul from behind. And a couple other plays got away with some I thought, got away with some things. And this is what they've been critiquing. They want to know why LeBron's not getting called for fouls. They want to know why they don't get to the foul line until the 1 minute mark of the first quarter. But as you mentioned to me before we went on the air, Violet Palmer was doing the game tonight.
And listen, I'm not a sexist. I keep a very open mind.
No, but you're a racist.
I'm a racist and a sexist. And Violet Palmer was awful, specifically on the baseline tonight, and even with the fouls. And Atlanta did have you know, they had every right on like two or three of the calls to complain. You know, Josh Smith did get attacked. I thought he was going to attack her. But I mean,
probably wouldn't be the first time in his life.
Well, she wouldn't be doing the game if they hadn't, you know, classified her, and we're in the second round. If they hadn't classified her as one of the better refs based on their, like, they grade these refs, and she's doing the game. I don't know. I'm watching one of her baseline errors right now, actually. But
yeah,
I don't know.
You know, they always say Kobe, nobody works the baseline like Kobe. Well, it's the exact polar opposite when it comes to officiating. By the way, one thing I've never understood about officials, you know, they get worked up with the crowd, and the minute there's a close out-of-bounds play, they want to thrust their arm in the air and get the crowd excited. You know, it's part of the entertainment that they have at the queue. She got it wrong. This happens all the time. You point to the wrong direction, the crowd goes ballistic, and then you go, oh, wrong direction. How difficult is it to know which direction to point?
Whose
fault
is
it? I'll never understand this.
Hey, clearly she's intimidated by the best fans on the planet. These are human beings from Cleveland, Ohio.
Mike Tirico made that point tonight. Mike Tirico made that point tonight that he said he doesn't think there's a better environment in sports right now than what you see at Quicken Loans Arena.
I mean, currently, not in general, but currently you can't really disagree. Yeah. I mean, we go in, we could have easily been, 40-1 if we hadn't given away a game. And these refs are obviously there's something to this home cooking. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, had he been to one of the three non-sellouts in the regular season, perhaps he would have had a different thought. Tonight, again, by the way, Ross, you know, we've been making a lot of all NBA defense. Congratulations to LeBron, who is able to make the list and get first team. And I thought it was well deserved, and I wrote about it this week. Tonight, again, drew the very tough assignment. You know, when LeBron wants to guard somebody, he says, I'm taking option number 5 and Maurice Evans. Why did the Atlanta Hawks go away from the well? They went away. They went away from Maurice Evans despite early scores. He should have had another one in transition on a play that LeBron didn't get back. And tonight, Maurice Evans, the stat line, 7 of 12, 16 points. 16 points. The Hawks are going to look at that on tape and go, why did we not go after LeBron James more and take advantage of that mismatch?
Well, honestly, you're kind of right. But he left Maurice Evans. No, he left Maurice Evans on his own, which he should be doing. I mean, when the Cavs play the Celtics, they should be leaving Rondo to shoot, not to, like, drive. But there's a number – like, when teams defend the Cavs and Ben Wallace is in the game, there should not be – or the worst defender should be guarding him, or nobody should be guarding him. So he did get the 4 steals and whatever. But, yeah, you're right, obviously. But, you know, at some, one point in the game, he was guarding Joe Johnson. Yes. I think he should be guarding Bibby, frankly. I do. Just to get a hand up higher and contest the threes. Because at this point, there's only one play that I think Atlanta should be running, and that's find a way to get Mike Bibby a three-point shot. I felt like tonight, I didn't know what they'd get to. They got to 85 because of scrub time. They had 30 points in the fourth quarter. But I just thought Bibby and Joe Johnson should have jacked up like 35 threes combined tonight. I mean, isn't that the best offense at this point?
That is about all they have, and the way that their inability to get rebounds on either side of the floor is becoming so apparent. Tonight, Ross, you know, a couple injuries when we talked about Joe Johnson going down. We're also looking at Delonte West. A lot of people concerned, but I know that you're excited because he got poked in the eye tonight. He got poked in the eye. But here's the thing. I know that we've always wanted to see Delonte in the Somalian pirate look. And so this would be interesting if we can get an eye patch of some sort on there. That might mess with his peripheral vision.
It would be funny to see D Hood with the eye patch as a pirate. I mean, we know there's been a lot of pirate sightings this last month or 2 months here. But LeBron said in the locker room after the game that he was clowning. You know how they clown.
Oh, these guys clown around.
they was clowning, and Delonte's fine, and he'll be ready to go in game three. But, you know, you don't want to see any of these guys hurt when the game's a 30-point game. I will say that. And that's the Cavs, for those wondering out there. That is the Cavs' best half-court perimeter defender.
Yeah.
So we don't want him getting hurt.
By the way, it's a good problem to have, though. The Cavs are continually in these 30-point playoff blowouts, which is just uncanny. I don't remember the Kobe and Shaq Lakers blowing out teams to this extreme.
One postseason they did. All the rest they did not.
Are you talking about the Philadelphia? The year they played Philadelphia hadn't lost a game until the first game of the finals when Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson pwned. I think the term pwned was created when he hit a three.
Uber pwned
when he hit a three ball, step back three, Jay Work over Tyronn Lue and stared him down.
Yeah. Did a little hop skip and just pimped it. But they only did one postseason. Even Michael's Bulls, they found ways to get deep into series like Game Sixes, even some Game Sevens. So this Cavs team, I don't know what to say, man. Bring on Boston or Orlando. Right?
Well, speaking of Boston and Orlando, we saw another just a terrible performance by Orlando when they come out and they're married to that 3-point shot. And obviously, you live by three, die by three. You're going to hear that adage a lot with that team. I'm not telling you you haven't heard before, but how do you see the rest of that series? And as a Cavs fan, are you pulling for that series to go long, or are you worried that maybe the longer that series goes, the quicker the Cavs series goes, maybe they're out of rhythm for a game one in the next series, which, as we saw with the Rockets and the Lakers, a good team can always come in your place and steal a game.
I kind of don't think that the 9 or 10 days, which is another possibility, you know, there's definitely even though we got this series started late, it's looking like we could go 4 and they could go 7. But I don't. The only reason why that would be good is for Joe Smith, Z, and Big Ben. Those are the only guys that are going to benefit from a long rest. So I don't know. Maybe if we could get just like 3 or 4 days, that would be ideal. I'm definitely rooting, though, for Boston to split in Orlando. You know, you still want those guys worn because look what's happened to Atlanta. They've got guys hurt. You know, like what if, you know, Pierce, Ray Allen, any of these guys, Eddie House got swiped at his head. I mean, what if you got hurt with that little bitch slap?
Yeah, well, skip day, to my yeah. Lou, thinking that was a professor. Professor! Professor!
Bitch slap, professor.
Yeah, that was ugly incident. Hey, by the way, were you surprised? Do you think of the Kobe incident with Artest, much to do about nothing? I mean, if you listen to Battier, if you listen to Kobe, if you listen to Artest, they all said, look, this is playoff basketball.
Yeah, they all did say
but
that.
But then Derek Fisher got suspended.
Well, Fisher deserved to get suspended. Kobe didn't deserve it. You know what? I thought Stu Jackson, who is... and Sterno, you know, they've been wrong in the past, but I pretty much thought they got all that stuff right. I thought the referee was wrong in running our test. I didn't think he deserved to get run out of the game, but they got it right. Derek Fisher deserved a suspension, and hey, that's a benefit to the Lakers because he's playing like shit.
All right, so, Ross, one thing I chronicled tonight, and it'll be hitting the blogosphere everywhere tomorrow, meaning it will not be picked up by any other blogs because it's pretty worthless. We have a little dust-up, a little media controversy between the two factions here, between Atlanta and Cleveland. You know, this is not like when mayors make their terrible hackneyed bets about giving one resource, putting up one resource of their city with another. By the way, what would Cleveland's resource be right now in an NBA Finals matchup?
LeBron.
Our unemployment line, is that something we can give up? Yeah, no, LeBron. I don't think – who's our mayor? Is it Frank Jackson?
Hey, in 2010 – Lakers. If the Lakers beat us in a sweep, you can have LeBron in 2010.
Listen, Bill Martin of Fox 8. He's a hero of mine. I actually interned at Fox 8 when I was very young, and Bill Martin was there. He's an iconic broadcasting figure, and he had had enough. He had had enough of a Atlanta beat writer by the name of Mark Bradley, who came out, ripped the city of Cleveland, said there's nothing to do in Cleveland. Very original. As you can imagine.
Oh, that's bullshit. Come on. Has he ever been to West 6? Shooters? This time of year? It's lovely.
No. I don't know. Gary Miller. Remember Gary Miller? He had some fun in Cleveland. He had some fun in the nightlife. hey, if you can't find a bathroom, just go to a balcony. There's all.
Who is it? Shannon Brown had some fun on West 6 once, right? Wouldn't that have
Why not? Remember, what happens at XO stays at XO. Words to live by this Cavalier organization. Anyway, Bill Martin had enough, and he said... earlier tonight, this is a good one, Rossitron. I think you'll enjoy this. This is Bill Martin. Normally, broadcasters don't, you know, don't take out the filter in this way. Listen to what
I want that sports writer to know. If I see him in this town, I will fight him.
Can I arrange that?
Of course, that's Tony Rizzo there at the end. Of course, the clip didn't even work halfway through. But either way, I mean, you like to see this between the media since we don't have much to talk about in the games. You like all this stuff to be happening on the periphery. And, you know, Cleveland people, they've had enough of this gentle ribbing going on in the rest of the country.
Yeah, it's getting less and less gentle, isn't it? But, hey, we're not Detroit, right? We're not Detroit.
According to Mike Polk, no, we're not. All right, Rossitron. Well, I don't have anything else to add. Although we got to go out
either.
In the song.
Go
Cats. Now look, wait.
Yeah, let's jam out. I'll dance right here. Nobody's watching. Right. I will dance.
I wanted to go. Now we did the Atlanta Hawks song mentioning Othello Hunter. By the way, Othello Hunter was
he played tonight?
Him and AC Law looking good tonight. Looking very good tonight.
Othello, does he still have eligibility?
All right, here we got this. All right, this is not the surprise track that you've all been waiting for. This is a little welcome to Atlanta,
shit.
Because you know, now the tide shifts. Now the scene shifts. Back to Atlanta. What do they play? Are they at the Phillips Arena?
Luda. Yeah, Phillips Arena. Phillips Arena on Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Let's see if we can go on the road and do one of these 30-point things. That would actually be pretty impressive.
I always get confused. I never know if it's a Phillips Arena or a Flathead.
Yeah. Phillips Arena with the old Hawks symbols. Denver went on the road and won by 58, so maybe we can go on the road Saturday night.
Does a playoff team ever go with retro jerseys? If ever there was a time when you'd want to see it, you'd want to see it with Atlanta in two nights.
But even with the Cavs? I mean, I love the Cavs unis now, but those Cavs unis from 1989, man, the blue and orange, those are the best.
All right, but this is your surprise track. But it's a bad.
I just ripped my shirt. One of my socks. I ripped one of my socks.
Now, for those not from the greater Cleveland area, this is the song to jam onto in the tailgate lots in the Muni lot. And if you check YouTube and type in Bone Crusher Dance, you will see our own Rossitron letting loose in the Muni lot to this song.
Where nakedness happens. Jesselyn and the Muni lot. We're amazing.
Yeah, Notre Dame Cathedral Latin and West Tioga coming together.
There's a rumor that a home opener might not happen.
Why? You're totally fading in and out.
Don't worry about it. Go Cavs!
Cavs! That'll do it tonight. Thanks for tuning in once again. Give us your feedback, too. We've been getting a lot of criticism of late. Keep it coming, because that's what we enjoy. And that'll do it. Thanks for listening, and you've been tuned in to yet another CurseCleveland.com podcast. So long. Break it down.
I'm selling front, back.
Sing along, Ross.
Side.
This is bonus.
Never let a punk ass nigga slide, dog.
Oh, you don't know
that means you dead.
So once again, Ross.